Well, as we talk about dairy production, there are a number of factors that affect our efficiency and profitability. Dr. David Zartman, a professor emeritus in the Ohio State University and a former chairman of the Department of Animal Sciences and Dairy Science, joins me. Dr. Zartman, you recently released an article that discusses the concept of perennial lactation, which potentially has an opportunity to add some real profitability to our dairy herds. Kind of share with us the concept of perennial lactation as you studied it.
Well, first we probably should explain what that means. The concept is that a cow would be brought into production with a natural calving at some typical young age of 2 years or thereabouts, and would lactate for about 3.5 to 4 years continuously without stopping, no dry period, no further pregnancies, unless there might be one at the very end to recycle her for another perennial lactation. Now, why would I want to think about such an idea that seems pretty much offbeat, out of the norm? I've heard testimonies from dairy farmers for years about this odd cow in their herd that has had high milk production, didn't get pregnant, seemed to be too good to sell, and she was continuously forgiven for her not being pregnant, as to say, one more time, we'll keep trying to breed her. And all at once they realize she's been lactating for about 2.5, maybe 3 years, and still making 60 pounds of milk a day. Well, I'm thinking, as a scientist, that may be a very resourceful opportunity for us to exploit those kinds of cows. They seem to be all around, and that's a very unique skill. Another way of putting it is that, as a geneticist, I'm looking and saying, the modern dairy cow has been genetically improved to the extent that she is capable of far more lifetime production than we give her a chance to express. What I mean to say is that we insist on a traditional type of management that requires her to calve every year, or we tend to discard her if she doesn't.
When we talk about that particular aspect of dairy efficiency, taking that cow out of milk, taking her into that dry period, I mean, we lose several days right there production.
Yes. You see, there a lot of dairy farmers will also complain about how it sort of hurts them to dry off a cow that's given 70 pounds of milk a day because she's pregnant and it's time to have a dry period. There's been a tendency in the research amongst dairy scientists lately to try to shorten that dry period down to about 45 days instead of the typical 60 days that we lived with as the norm for many years. And they're finding that that works pretty well. So already there's been work showing that a shorter dry period seems to be economically all right, as well as physiologically okay for the cow. But that still is based on the typical pattern of having a pregnancy.
Okay, so when we take that out of the equation and we let a cow stay in milk beyond that typical pattern, you've studied cows that have been out of milk, as you mentioned, or out of that typical pattern, rather, I should say, in that lactation period for 3 and 4 years. Were you seeing that on a widespread basis? In other words, did we have any herds where that was more prevalent, that we could study how the perennial lactation concept, you know, really transpired in larger numbers, or is it fairly isolated?
You know, that's very a good question you've asked there, Andy, and I'm glad to have a chance to answer that. In order to test the idea of having cows lactate for 4 years, an arbitrarily chosen number, we went to the DHI record base that's developed at Provo, Utah, where they have about 870,000 cows in production records there. And I asked for all cows in the middle of 2003 that had a current ongoing lactation of more than 700 days. Well, guess what? I got over 4,200 valid records of cows that were doing that. Therefore, when you break that group down into half-year increments, 2.5, 3, 3.5, 4 years, and even beyond, there were even 26 cows in that set that had been lactating for 4 years and were still averaging 48 pounds of milk per day.
That's a pretty impressive concept there. Now, as you talked about this set of data in your article, you mentioned that there are some thresholds we need to keep in mind. If we were going to hypothesize that this could be a valid production practice, and there's more research that needs to be done, but if we were going to say, yes, let's give this a shot, there are a couple metrics and a couple thresholds you mentioned that we need to really keep in mind to make sure that this is actually profitable as a production practice. Tell us about some of those.
In order to evaluate the utility of this idea in terms of a context of a whole farm model, we went to to Dr. Al Rotz with the Dairy Forage Research Center, who is located at Penn State University That's an ARS research center there. And he has helped with some others to develop a very sophisticated modeling program that considers the whole farm and a multi-year context. We set up a comparison into a typical Midwestern dairy, we'll say a Pennsylvania dairy of 100 lactating cows and about 250 acres. Then we assessed the application of some other choices as well as the perennial lactation choice to assess the impact on a whole farm concept. And it turned out that the perennial lactation idea, if we in fact built the numbers of the cows in the herd up to a what you would call carrying capacity of that farm and still keep a phosphate band basis for assessment of manure on the farm, that perennial lactation outperformed the typical dairy. It also outperformed a dairy which would sell all calves and buy all replacements, therefore eliminating the heifer raising part of the project, and would also be able to expand herd size. Perennial lactation outperformed both of those ideas.
And I have to imagine it's just simply because we've got more days in milk. That's, I mean, that right there is the biggest limiter in terms of expanding that production. Am I right?
That is certainly a major part of it. There is another multiplier there in that when a cow is not pregnant, her persistence is much better than when she is pregnant. So the typical cow that is pregnant, by the time she is approximately halfway through the gestation of her calf, begins to decline milk production because she's starting to partition nutrients to the fetus, and her physiology is changing over to motherhood instead of milk production. Well, if this cow is not pregnant, she has a longer duration of high-level production.
Now, when we start to quantify the concept further to determine, okay, is this a practice that can be implemented in a number of herds, what are the next steps? I mean, this is really the first time anyone has taken a scholarly look at the concept. As you mentioned, it's always been just kind of anecdotal examples. Well, what are the next steps that researchers need to take to be able to really nail this down as a potential opportunity?
The battery of research questions that have been generated by this idea is enormous. The first thing you'd like to find out is how many cows of a typical herd are really capable of this kind of lactation. We've always discarded the cows that had these long records without exploiting the capacity of a herd to do this. Well, I do acknowledge Dr. Galton, Dave Galton at Cornell, did some studies on 18-month lactations, which is in that direction, but still was based on a repeated calving. So you're right. It's unique to look at this, and we need to know more about how many cows of a normal group can do it. Another thing we need to figure out is the genetics of this system. We've never explored these cows genetically. Are the bulls that we're using today the best ones for this kind of an idea, or is there a different genotype that goes with this long persistence of lactation? There are also questions about whether or not we can explore the genomics of these cows to select for higher lactation persistency. Are there things that we can do physiologically, as through genetic engineering, for example, to increase that lactation duration? Another major question is whether or not bovine somatotropin, known as BST, is really an important part of this kind of a model. Do we think that it would be wise to use BST to encourage long lactation and high persistence? Those are pretty good starting points on analyzing the future of this kind of concept.
Dr. David Zartman, one of the most well-respected dairy professors in the business and a lead researcher emeritus with The Ohio State University. Dr. Zartman, we appreciate your work with us and being our guest here in the barn.